the great violinist, Niccolo Paganini, wheeled his marvelous violin to the city of his birth, Genoa, but only on one condition, that his instrument never be played. But that was a very unfortunate condition, for it is a very distinctiveness of wood that as long as it's used and handled, it shows little wear and remains effective. But as soon as it is discarded, it begins to decay. And that's exactly what his violin did. The exquisite, mellow tone violin became worm-eaten in its beautiful case. Ineffective and valueless, except as a relic. That was all it was good for. You know, when I read that story, I thought, that's a great illustration. You see, the decayed instrument is a good reminder to all of us as believers that we have been given an invaluable gift, each one of us. The invaluable gift of a spiritual gift. And as long as it's used in the service of Christ to other people, in the body of Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, it is effective. However, when we fail to use our gifts, it loses its significant purpose in our life, for which God has left us here on earth. God has a purpose for our lives. When He's done with us, He's taken us to heaven. If we're still here, if we're still breathing, He's got a purpose for us. And part of that, a big part of that, is the spiritual gift that He has given to each one of us to use. And to not do that, we lose a very significant purpose for which God left us here. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. As we continue on in our study of 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14 on spiritual gifts. If you are new with us this morning, we go through books of the Bible. We go verse by verse, and we're now studying 1 Corinthians, and we're in chapters 12 through 14. And the whole theme, the whole passage deals with spiritual gifts. Paul had just shown how God's spiritual gifts are unique and can be distinguished from Satan's counterfeit spiritual activities by the positive test of confessing the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We saw that in verse 3 last time. But this does not mean that all spiritual gifts are the same. There's a diversity in the gifts that God has given. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. This morning we're going to be looking at what I believe to be two important facts about spiritual gifts that are given to every believer before these various gifts are listed. The gifts that the Apostle Paul is going to list here, the first list anyway, of gifts is going to be seen in verses 8 through 10. We're going to be looking at that next time. But he gives two important facts prior to that concerning these spiritual gifts that are given to every believer. The first important fact about spiritual gifts is this: the one source behind diverse spiritual gifts. The one source behind the diverse spiritual gifts. Look at verse 4 with me. I'm reading out of the New American Standard Bible. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now the word varieties here is used three times in verses 4 through 6. So this is the major theme of these first few verses here. It emphasizes the differences, the variety of spiritual gifts that are given by God to believers. This diversity will be seen in the list of 9 distinct gifts, as I said earlier, in verses 8 through 10. They're very diverse. These gifts not only differ from one another, they also fall into distinct categories. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it records that they are gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So all the gifts that are given to the body of Christ, to believers, are different. They're different. They're in different categories. And next time we'll begin looking at not only the nine listed in 8 through 10, but the New Testament gives us 18 spiritual gifts. And so, being we're in the gifts, I'm going to go ahead and bring all of those gifts out so you understand what the gifts are. And they will be coming from different passages. Now, the word gifts here is from the same root word meaning grace. Grace. Therefore, these spiritual gifts are essentially gifts of grace. For they are unearned, they're undeserved gifts of God that He has given through His unmerited favor to believers in the body of Christ. The spiritual gifts that we have been given by grace. They're grace gifts to His children. As we saw last time, a spiritual gift is a supernatural enablement or ability for ministry given to believers at the moment of salvation. Now, it's important to understand that these gifts are not natural talents. Spiritual gift is not a natural talent. It's a supernatural enablement. J. Dwight Pentecost rightly said, and I quote, "We recognize that there are men who are naturally gifted or talented, who by birth have a higher intelligence quotient and abilities which put them head and shoulders above other men. But when we speak of the gifts of the Spirit, we are not speaking about the native talents with which certain individuals have been endowed by natural birth. We are speaking of a supernatural endowment." End quote. So spiritual gifts different than a natural talent. Natural talents, skills, abilities are granted by God, just as everything that's good and worthwhile is also a gift from Him. Everything good comes from God, whether it's a natural talent or a spiritual gift. But those things, natural talents, are shared by believers and unbelievers alike. Everybody has some kind of a natural ability, skill. You don't have to be a Christian for that. But spiritual gifts come only as a result of salvation. Only believers, those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, are given spiritual gift. However, our natural talents, I believe, can be a vehicle from which our spiritual gifts are expressed. For example, singing, as beautiful as that is, those who can do it publicly, I mean, I love to sing. I wouldn't stand up here and torture you, though. Singing is a natural talent. It's not a spiritual gift. But through that vehicle of singing, gifts such as exhortation, encouragement, teaching, mercy can be ministered to the body of Christ. Also, the gift of helps, which is a beautiful gift in the body of Christ, can express itself in a number of natural talents and skills. You can express that gift through talents, skills, abilities. But those natural skills and abilities themselves are not the spiritual gift. Also, the gifts of the Spirit are different from the fruit of the Spirit. And we probably already know that. J. Oswald Sanders says it well. A gift may be imparted from without. It may remain separate and distinct. Fruit, however, is not an extraneous addition to a tree, but the issue of its life and is produced from within. Spiritual gift comes from outside the Holy Spirit. He gives to us. Spiritual fruit comes within, that's produced by the Spirit of God. So there's a difference there. Spiritual fruit is the outgrowth of the Spirit's work within the believer, making us more like Jesus Christ, more holy, more loving. You see the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. Now, this is far more reliable evidence of true spirituality than spiritual gifts. We are truly spiritual people when we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives being manifested. You can have spiritual gifts and be very carnal. And that's exactly where the Corinthians were. Back in chapter 1, verse 7, we saw that they were lacking in no spiritual gift. They had all of the spiritual gifts, and yet they were fleshly, carnal, immature believers. Whereas the gifts of the Spirit can be used in the context of the Spirit's control and the fruit in one's life, these carnal Corinthians did otherwise. You see, for many of them, their spiritual gifts were nothing more than a trophy, a pride of superiority, of boasting, whereby they arrogantly thought that they were more spiritual than those who were not as gifted as they were, thus causing disunity and division in the church. Never forget this, that the believer uses the gifts of the Spirit, and if he does that without the fruit of the Spirit in his life, he displeases the Lord. And he is in imminent danger of spiritual collapse. To use the gifts of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit in your life, controlling that gift, puts you in a place where you're not pleasing the Lord and you're in danger of collapsing spiritually. The two are intended to be inseparably connected at all times. Now, to correct the Corinthians' problem, notice how Paul points out the source that is behind these diverse spiritual gifts. Look again at verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. You see, although there is a diversity of gifts given to fellow believers, and each of these has their own unique characteristics, it is the same Spirit who indwells every believer that is the source, the distributor of all of the gifts. There's a number of different gifts. They function in different ways, as we will see. And yet there's one source that gives them. Notice here how Paul emphasizes the unity of source in the midst of the diversity of gifts. Since the third person of the Trinity, God the Spirit, does not fight against himself, Paul's point here is that the Corinthians' division that was going on because of their misuse of the gifts was not from the Spirit. He wants them to understand that. As they are using their gifts, misusing their gifts, abusing them, it was not the Spirit that was taking place. He wanted to show them their carnality, that they were not using the Spirit's gifts with the fruit of the Spirit behind it. God has ordained that the church experience unity in the midst of diversity. That's God's plan. He didn't just make cookie cutters. You don't trust Jesus Christ, and then all of a sudden we all start looking alike, talking alike, dressing alike, thinking alike. There's diversity. We're all different. And there's diversity by God's design. You see, uniformity is when you have to do everything exactly the same. Everybody has the same gifts. But that's not how God designed it. The church cannot function properly as a team if everyone did exactly the same thing. And so the body of Christ, God has uniquely gifted Each believer with a separate type of a gift. Diversity is essential for a healthy church, but our unity is in the same Spirit who is the source of all of the diverse gifts. Now, Paul then shows how these varieties of gifts, these diversity of gifts given by the Spirit are to be used in varieties of ministry. Again, the key word here is on variety, difference, diversity. And yet that's all in the context of unity. Look at verse 5. There are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. Now the word ministries here means service. Varieties of service. Like our Master Jesus Christ, as believers, we've been saved to serve. We've been saved to serve. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." Again, He's the personification of love, and we're going to see that in chapter 13. Because all perversions of the gifts are because of a lack of love. And so chapter 13 is sandwiched right in the middle. That's the love chapter. And when we're loving, we're other-centered. Our heart's desire is to look outside of ourselves to minister to other people. Jesus came to serve and to minister to others for the Father. And His Spirit gives spiritual gifts to His people so that they can do the very same thing. That's why He gave them to us. Now, it's important to understand that Jesus considers all Christian service to others as service done to Himself. Matthew chapter 25, in verse 40, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to who? To me." For you to serve other people, to serve one another with your gifts, is ultimately, Christ says, to serve Him. So we serve Him as we serve one another. Colossians 3:23-24 tells us, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance." Here it is. "It is the Lord Christ whom you serve." So you really serve Christ when you're serving others with your gift. And I want to just stop and say, that's crucial. You got to grab a hold of that. When you're serving other people, when you're ministering to other people, you have to keep at the forefront of your mind that you are really serving Jesus Christ. It's critical that you understand that, because those who, and you can attest, those who are involved in ministry are tempted to quit. The people that you serve don't appreciate it sometimes. We're in a spiritual battle. There's all kinds of issues that come up. And you have to keep focused on the fact that I am serving Jesus Christ in what I'm doing. I'm serving other people, but I'm doing it ultimately for the Lord. And that will keep us on the path of being faithful and using our gifts. Because when you get your eyes off of that, and I've just talked to too many people through the years that have bailed and said, "I already did that. You know, I've already done my time doing that." And now they're not using their gifts at all. And a major significant purpose for which God has left them here on earth now is gone. Now concerning ministry, although some believers can have the same basic gift, they can manifest that gift in service to others in a variety of ways and styles. Just because you have the same basic type of a gift, for example, teaching, doesn't mean that we all teach the same way in the same areas to the same people. One teacher may be especially gifted in teaching children or young people, youth. Another teacher may be more adept in teaching adults. Still another teacher may teach in a Christian college or seminary. Again, there's different ministries, different ways, different styles of a person using their gift. One evangelist may be able to powerfully address large crowds. like a Billy Graham or Louis Palau. Well, the strength of another evangelist is in one-on-one witnessing. They're still just as much gifted with evangelism, except their way of doing that in style is much different. So there's varieties of ministries. There's varieties of gifts. There's diversity of gifts. There's diversity of ministries that those gifts operate in. You see, that's the beauty of God-created diversity. But notice again how Paul points out the source that is also behind these diverse ways of ministering. Look again at verse 5. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. The word Lord here refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, joins the Holy Spirit as the source of spiritual gifts and the service performed through those gifts. First of all, we see the Holy Spirit. Now we see Jesus Christ as the source of gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, where the risen Christ, we see, gave spiritual gifts as well as spiritual men to the church. Listen as I read. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, when Christ rose from the dead, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Then in verse 11, it goes on to say, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Literally, in the Greek, it's pastor teachers. One function, one office. It's under Christ's authority and for His glory that we are to exercise our spiritual gifts in ministry or service to other people. And since He too does not fight against Himself, the Corinthians' division that was taking place, that disunity going on in the church over their spiritual gifts, was not of the Lord, wasn't of the Spirit, the same Spirit, and wasn't of the same Lord. And Paul then shows how these varieties of gifts and ministries can also have varieties of effects. Look at verse 6. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Now the word effects here refers to that outward supernatural working or the energizing of God's power in and through the spiritual gift. It speaks of power, various levels of divine power that are carried out through the use of gifts. Just as spiritual gifts are given spiritually or supernaturally, so they are energized supernaturally. The spiritual gift that you have, that God has given to you, with that is energized to be able to carry out God's intended desire. John MacArthur aptly states, Christians, no matter how well trained or experienced or how unselfishly motivated, cannot exercise their gifts in their own power. But only the giver of spiritual gifts can empower them and make them effective. Just as God gives no commands for which He does not also give the ability to obey, He does not give spiritual gifts for which He does not also give the power to use. He must be pure from sin and be willing to be used in order that the Holy Spirit can make our gifts productive. End quote. Now this was clearly seen in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Listen to what he said. He says, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of His power. God called Paul into the ministry to be an apostle. And as he was using that gift in spreading the gospel and evangelizing and all the different gifts that God had given him, it was God himself mightily working through him through those gifts. Again, in Colossians 1:29, he says, "For this purpose I also labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me." So the gifts God has given to us, he doesn't expect us to just kind of go off and do our thing. We are to depend upon him in that supernatural gift to supernaturally use that to work through us as we minister our gift, whatever it might be. How amazing to know that your supernatural gift is energized by a supernatural power of God to bring about supernatural results in people's lives. We can't change anybody. We can't transform anybody's life. But God himself, working through us, through what he's given to us, brings about that power and transformation. Whether you can always see it or not, God is at work. We need to remind ourselves of that. However, just as spiritual gifts are diverse, the energizing of those gifts is also diverse. You see, there are different manifestations of divine power. Not everyone has the same effect or impact by the use of their gifts. It's God's energy working, but the results can be different. See, some gifts manifested in certain ways and situations demand a different degree of power than other gifts. But the energizing is equivalent to whatever the gift might be. This is why not all gifts bring about the same kind or extent of result. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. It says, "And the one on whom seed was sown, on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit." Now that fruit is in his life, again, is talking about not, you know, spiritual fruit in his own life, but the fruit of other believers, or the fruit of ministry. And it says, he bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So, you know, how much fruit we actually get, and, you know, again, that's all God's doing. Our responsibility is simply to be faithful in exercising our spiritual gifts in God's energy and God's power, as we are dependent upon the Spirit of God, allowing him to control us, produce his fruit in our life, and then leave the results to the Lord. Then for a third time, notice, Paul also points out the source that is also behind these diverse effects. Look again at verse 6. "There are varieties of effects, but the same God, who works all things in all persons." The word God here is a reference to God the Father. So we've seen God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, now God the Father. God the Father is the first person of the Trinity who produces these supernatural effects in our lives. He is the one who works all things, in other words, energizing the gifts in the ministries. He works all those things, energizes them in all persons, referring to every believer in the body of Christ. And since he too does not fight against himself, the Corinthian division in the church over their spiritual gift was not from God. Therefore, in verses 4 through 6, we see here that the one source of unity that stands behind all of the diversity of gifts, diversity of ministries and effects, is the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The entire Trinity is involved, beloved, in your spiritual gifts. I mean, think about that. The spiritual gifts that you have and that you use, the entire Trinity is involved in. This is how important spiritual gifts are in a believer's life. It's the same Spirit who gives the gifts. It's the same Lord who has served and by whose authority the gifts are exercised. It's the same God that exalted the Lord Jesus as head of the church and sent His Holy Spirit, who is at work energizing the gifts that you have. Therefore, don't take your spiritual gifts lightly. Now, the triune God, who is Himself characterized by unity within diversity, has decreed the same for His church. God is unified. God is one. There's one God, and yet in three persons. That unity that's expressed in diversity has decreed that that same unity in diversity be expressed in His church. We are to be unified, and yet we're all diverse. This is why when believers use their gifts as God intended, it provides unity in the church in the midst of all of our diversity. And how we have different gifts, different ministries, different effects, different results. There's unity, not the disunity in the division that was taking place in the Corinthian church. So the first important fact that Paul wants, before he now gets into the gifts, the first important fact that he wants the Corinthians to know is the one source behind the diverse gifts. The second important fact about spiritual gifts is this: the primary purpose of every spiritual gift. Now look at verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In this verse, there are three things that I want to point out to you. First of all, notice who receives spiritual gifts. But to each one is given. To each one is given. It's vital for you to understand that God never intended for the ministry of His church to be carried out only by a few. Never. Everyone has a place. You know, that's one of the things I love about God's church. It's a family. Everyone has a place. At the moment of salvation, every believer, without exception, is given at least one spiritual gift. And often, it's a combination of gifts. I like to call it a gift mix. In verses 8 through 10, which we'll look at next time, we're told, "For to one is given," and then it repeats the phrase, "and to another," 8 different times. Again, emphasizing that each person has a gift. Verse 11 tells us, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things," referring to the gifts, all these different diverse gifts that we're seeing in 8 through 10. The Holy Spirit distributing to each one individually. You see, each individual believer has been given a specific gift designed just for them. You have a spiritual gift. You may not know what it is, but you have one as a believer. Speaking of spiritual gifts, Ephesians 4:7, we already saw that. "But to each one of us, grace was given." One of my favorite passages, 1 Peter 4, verse 10, tells us each one has received a special gift. So therefore, every believer is spiritually gifted. No one is excluded. And since God's gifts are like the uniqueness of snowflakes for each person, no two believers have exactly the same gifts. There's no carbon copies. We're all unique. Your gift, your gift mix is unique to you. By God's grace and design, you are just as unique in your spiritual gifting as you are in your fingerprints. There's no one like you. Exactly. The Spirit of God has given no one else the exact gift mix and ministry that He has given to you. You see, this is why if you don't know what your gift is, or you're not using your spiritual gift, No one else will. No one else will. If you don't fulfill your unique ministry, it will not be fulfilled. Beloved, everyone has a place in the body of Christ. W.A. Criswell accurately stated, and I quote, "Each gift is needed and is not to be neglected. Every member is essential to the body. No great church became that way by a one-man ministry. All, each, every one, great, small, rich, poor, old, young, have essential parts." End quote. Beloved, each one of us have been given spiritual gifts that are essential to the body. Are you using yours? Second, notice, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, the word manifestation here has the basic idea of making known, clear, evident. In other words, the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer makes himself known, makes himself evident in the church and in the world through the spiritual gifts that he has given to his people. Just as every member of an orchestra plays an instrument making music, each member of God's family possesses a gift that, when exercised, manifests the Holy Spirit in some way. One way in one believer, another way in another believer. The Spirit of God is being manifest when we exercise our gifts because He is flowing through us. And since the work of the Spirit is to glorify Christ, to bear witness to His Lordship, as God's people all exercise their gifts, the church lives out, it embodies Christ's presence in the world, and it brings glory to Him. We as the church of Christ are to live out, embody Christ in this world. He has given us His gifts, and as we use those gifts, people see together there is Christ. However, when believers are not using their gifts or they are not being used rightly, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. As a result, the rich diversity of Christ's church is hidden. And God's work is hindered. And then third, notice the primary purpose of every spiritual gift is for the common good. For the common good. The one Greek word translated common good here means to be mutually helpful, profitable, beneficial, advantageous. Here we see that all the spiritual gifts are for the edification, the building up, the maturing, the equipping of the local body of believers. Charles Spurgeon rightly said, "Every member has its own special office in the body. It is not there merely for its own comfort, but to be a help to the whole system of which it forms a part." End quote. You have been given a special spiritual gift or gift mix. Not for ourselves, it's for others. It's for the body of Christ. Harry Ironside declared, "The gifts abiding in the church are all given for profit and edification. None are for show, nor to attest to the fact of the Spirit indwelling, nor yet for the happiness of the recipient. All are not evangelists. All cannot preach. All do not possess the ability to shepherd the flock of God. But all have some measure of gift to be exercised for the blessing of the rest." End quote. Our gifts aren't for us. They're for one another to be used. Are you using yours? This ministering one's gifts for the common good is also seen in Ephesians chapter 4. Listen as I read verses 15 and 16 where it says, "We are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." In other words, when everyone in the church, every believer, is using their gifts, they're doing their part in the ministry, the result is that the body grows. In many ways, spiritually, it's built up, it matures. People are ministered to. Those who are hurting are comforted. As the different gifts are being carried out on the body is being built up and it's growing. We're becoming more like Christ. You see, this is how the Lord designed His church to function. Everyone doing their part. Working together in unity and interdependence upon one another. Beloved, I need you. We all need each other in the body of Christ. That's the way He put it together. As each of us uses our spiritual gifts and service to one another, we directly or indirectly help each other grow and better use our gifts. Those who choose not to use their gifts in the church not only cripple their own ministry and the ministry of others, but they also forfeit the blessing and the eternal reward that they could have received, that God designed for them to experience. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, a steward is one who manages what belongs to someone else. Our gifts belong to Him, but He's entrusted them to us temporarily. We manage what belongs to someone else, but for which he or she is accountable. One day we're going to have to give an account of our stewardship of our gifts. Are you being a good steward of the spiritual gifts that God has entrusted to you to be used for the common good of the body? That's the purpose of them. You can always use your spiritual gifts to some degree, no matter what limitations you have, if you want to. Spiritual gifts are for the spiritual edification of others. They're not to be neglected. They're not to be misused for our own personal boasting or even our own benefit. A teacher who studies God's Word and then writes a bunch of lessons and, you know, preaches into a tape recorder and, you know, writes sermons that are never taught to other people has wrongly used his gifts. The gifts are for the common good. Gerald Stover said it well. Gifts are never to be employed to magnify the one who possesses them. The Holy Spirit is not in the business of building great reputations for men. His ministry is to reveal and glorify Jesus Christ. And that's what we do when we all use our gifts in ministering to one another. Whenever you use your spiritual gift and the power of the Spirit to serve other people, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. But that blessing is a byproduct. It's not the purpose. The primary purpose of every spiritual gift given by the Holy Spirit is the spiritual benefit of others. In closing, where are you at this morning with these two important facts that Paul has given? As a Christian, you have an important part. You play an important part in God's church. He's designed you to play an important part. A part that nobody else can play but you. With your unique gifts. Failing to use your spiritual gifts and service to others in Christ's church will cause your life to lose a significant purpose for which God has left you here. He could have just taken us to heaven immediately once we were saved. But He's left us here for a reason. Those spiritual gifts He's given is part of His will for our lives and how He wants to use us in the body to build the body up. Your fellow believers will not only miss out on some of the building up that God intended to come through you if you fail to use it, but also the Lord will miss out on some of the glory that He desires to receive from your service to Him. Let me ask you this morning, have you discovered your spiritual gift? You know what it is? Are you faithfully using it for the benefit of the body? Have you found your place in ministry? May we all be good stewards of the gift entrusted to us by serving one another for the common good, so that the Lord Jesus Christ may be properly represented and glorified in the church and also in the world as we use those gifts together.